Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and it's always wonderful to be here with you. As we move forward into this so-called new millennium, we bring with you the idea and the concept of power, prosperity, and peace, and to make certain that we live life like it's golden. And so, as we move forward into this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation, we want you to know that we appreciate you tuning in, and we've got a lot that we're going to talk about tonight. In case you haven't been getting our e-blasts lately, well, you will begin to get them more regularly again. We've been doing some work and had to really focus on getting that done to get ready for our upcoming 14th year anniversary celebration of course, the Million Women March and now the universal movement of the Million Women March. Well, before we go any further, we always have to give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we are always cognizant of our freedom-fighting ancestors. So again, we thank all of you for tuning in tonight, and for those of you who tune into our show on a regular basis, we also thank you as well. Now, we're having a little bit of difficulties tonight with our board, so for whatever reason our broadcast gets knocked off or something, by all means, just call back in or tune back in if you're online, because usually within a matter of a few moments or so, we're able to get back on. It's just sometimes when we're in an area, sometimes the frequency or the reception might not be what we need for it to be, but again, we usually get right back on. At any rate, we're going to move forward with tonight's program. And again, we have so much that we have to really begin to not only talk about, but to really focus on in terms of what are we going to do about some of this madness that is now happening. Well, needless to say, before we go into some of that, I guess what we need to do is give thanks and remember some of our ancestors. Recently, of course, we just had two new ancestors, and of course that being that of Gil Scott Heron, and then, of course, Geronimo Pratt. Wow, we got the news on that one. That was really, very, very, very surprising. But, like we all know, for certain we will leave here at some point in time. But I can tell you that I've met the brother, and it was such an honor and such a pleasure soon after when he was finally released after, I think, 25 or 28 years of being incarcerated. And, of course, it being made explicitly clear that he was innocent. So when he was finally released, he came to Philadelphia, and the community here welcomed him in such a wonderful way. And I had the wonderful opportunity to meet with him and to give him a gift, really. And it was just my spirit moved me to do that, and I gave him a gift, and it was a saber, kind of like a sword. And he looked at it, and it was funny because someone said to me later that, you weren't supposed to give him that because technically, there's still some rules about him being released and what he's able to, have and not have and some other crazy stuff. But he accepted it, and, again, it was just such a wonderful embrace and a wonderful kind of interaction. So we want to remember our brother today and also dedicate the show to him today. We'll be talking more about Brother Geronimo Diego Pratt very, very soon. We'll have some people on the show in the very near future to, really give you some further insight into just the brilliancy of this brother, his activities prior, before being targeted by COINTELPRO. And, of course, during that time period of incarceration, the work, like Mumia, You know, he did a lot of fantastic work while still in lockdown. It just goes to show you that no matter what these people try to do to us, it just never breaks our spirit. Those of us who are committed and dedicated to African liberation, well, I mean, like Doc used to say, and I'm talking about Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, we will do this work from the cradle to the grave. So for some of us, we know that to be true, and we have no problem with it at all. Now, one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight, we weren't able to complete our show last week because we were at a very powerful event last week. We mentioned it briefly while we were there. We did come on the air just a bit to let you know that we were at an event. We were at the Nina Simone Sisterhood Awards that was sponsored by Sister Basima Muhammad. It was a very fantastic event, well attended. Spirit was very high, and we look forward to participating again next year. This was the first year for it, and if any of the future years look like what we saw this year, well, it definitely is going to be something that is going to be welcome and needed, especially here in Philadelphia. So again, we didn't get a chance to really go into the dialogue last week that we had anticipated going into, and that dialogue had to do with, of course, there was a lot of information circulating through the net and all over, not just in the net, but newspapers and all over the place regarding the article that was featured in Psychology Today by an Asian dude whose name is Kanazawa. He's a psychologist and considered a so-called fundamentalist. And for those who are not familiar with the position of, you know, these people, so-called, again, fundamentalists, they have these theories that they often want to put out there to see how far they can go with it. Of course, one of the most famous ones was that of Darwin. He was a fundamentalist as well. So now we have the continuation of that kind of mindset, or that kind of really it's just a straight up racism, to be honest with you, or what some people want to call global attempted world European domination, quote-unquote white supremacy. But see, in this case, just to show you how slick this stuff really is, this is an Asian dude, okay? So for real, when we talk about global white attempted world domination, obviously we can't just think about that in the context of it being, per se, European, Caucasian-like pale people. Obviously, the mindset and the spirit, or the lack thereof, has to do with a whole bunch of people, obviously. At any rate, we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about the article where Dr. Professor, I'm not sure which one he goes by, but Mr. Kanazawa, we're going to talk about why he wrote this article that talked about black women as being less attractive than white and Asian women. We're going to talk about that, and not to really, you know, go too far with it because, I mean, for real, what's the purpose? It's not going to really change anything, but we would be remiss if we did not at least say something about it in public, being, of course, the largest gathering in the world and now the first global movement for women and girls of African descent worldwide. We got to say something for the record, and so we shall. Now, joining us tonight is one of our brothers, and, of course, you've heard him on our program on many times before, and you will again in the future. We're going to talk to our brother, Ramasus, who, of course, has a radio program here in Philadelphia as well on a radio station called Word. See, I can say that, and that's kind of a private joke because when you go on commercial radio, a lot of time the radio station owners do not want you to say any other broadcasting or radio type of thing. So a lot of times if you go on these other radio programs or other stations, they won't let you announce or talk about your show. Well, we can do that here. We have no problem with it. In fact, you know, we feel very pleased to be able to tell you about any brother or sister that has a communications apparatus that is doing positive and progressive kinds of work. So Again, Bill DeRamasus is going to be joining us shortly. He has a radio program that comes on every Monday night at 8 o'clock. You can hear it online, and you can also call in. So we're going to tell you more about that very shortly. But we're going to talk with Bill DeRamasus about this whole idea of black women being less attractive. Now, you know, that's just, that's just absolutely insane. But if people can say that and get away with it or push that line, then you know they will. Unfortunately for them, it's not going to happen. So we're going to talk about that. But here's the latest thing, family. Wow. And I had to really backtrack on this one, and I can also tell you that there is a plan of action that is going to come with this, rest assured. We just haven't quite developed it yet. We're going to talk about it tomorrow when we have our task force meeting. Of course, there is a national task force for the elimination of violence and abuse of black Africana women and girls. So tomorrow, the task force will talk about this issue in Michigan. Would you believe that a judge had the audacity to rule that a sister, a black woman, could not name her child what she wanted to name her child? I mean, can you believe that? I mean, of course, I know you can, but to just show you how the attack, and note, we said this. We've been saying this for a few years now, but see, now it is becoming so crystal clear, no one can deny it. The attack on the black woman now is in full force. It is like never before, and you can rest believe it's only the beginning. Why? Because we know, without a shadow of a doubt, what's really going on from a systematic standpoint. Now, we're going to elaborate a little bit on that very shortly, but we want to remind you that you are in tune to New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. We're going to open up the chat room for you in about 5 minutes because we really would like for you to really kind of talk about or really discuss or really elaborate what you think about the article in Psychology Today, but also this new development with these people now in Michigan. And remember, if it happens in one of these states, especially in a state that's highly populated with black folks, and they can target a specific area, if they can do it there and get away with it, you can believe it's coming somewhere else. Finally, here's one more thing. This was also Michigan, where a principal has suggested that the schools now be turned into prisons because the economy now in Michigan is so bad that this principal feels that the children weren't being educated anyway. So since some of the schools have to close, his suggestion was, turn them into a prison. Wow. We'll get back to that shortly as well. In fact, I'm going to pull that article up for you, and I'm going to read some of that to you very shortly. But what I want to do right now is, before we open up the chat room, we're going to get ready to go to our live line. And joining us, I think we're going to bring in Brother Ramasus right about now. And again, family, if for whatever reason we have some technical difficulties and get interrupted, please just dial back in or go back online, and you can come right back up. But we got a lot we're going to talk about tonight and come up with some possible solutions at the same time. But right now, we're going to go to our live line, and joining us now should be Brother Ramasus. Brother Ramasus, are you there?
All right. Greetings. Can you hear me?
All right. Absolutely. Loud and clear.
All right.
How are you doing tonight, brother?
I'm holding fast. I'm holding fast. But let me tell you, you really got that thing moving across. And the reason I didn't see the first or the second email is because it's attached to the first email. You have the first psychology publication where they have concluded And they used the word less attractive. They didn't use quite what I put. But, I mean, that's where they go when they're telling me that the black woman is the ugliest woman on the face of the planet. Who in the world? I mean, what study were they looking at? What were they using for their specimens? That's the first thing I want to know. But that's okay. As stated, as you put it, you know, we don't want to focus on that too much because we know that's not has anything to do with anything except for the fact that every 20 years they have to do something to turn the clock back, okay, to restart that dial. You started moving after slavery, 1865. Mm-hmm. They had to do something to turn the clock back. You started moving 1921. They had to do something to turn the clock back. You started moving again. By the time you get up to 1960, they had to do something to turn the clock back. 1980. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can look right down the timeline and see it. Now, let's get to this thing in Detroit, Michigan. Where in the... Okay, wait a minute. We can't say it like that.
Oh, yeah, you can. This is different from the FCC regulation, so you can say it.
Now, what we got to do is I got to stay in practice because Monday night I'm going to be talking about all of these things. And I got to make sure I don't slip up because they told me one time I was slipping up on the program. But where in the world? Now, see, I told the people on Legacy of a Nation that these people are treating you like property. Okay?
Right.
They are treating you like property. The Constitution has never released you from a property state. And now here it is back up in your face that you can't even name your child without a panel of three, not one, not two, but three white women to approve the name.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they state is because, well, your name don't sound English. Well, fool, I'm not English. Understand what I'm saying? So why should my name sound English? They do everything to keep you. They go back and say it in the 60s, and I'm telling you, you got to really tell me this guy's name because I swear it looked like Cornel West, but I might be wrong. And he sounds like one of the people that would say that. But in the 1960s, when you started the Strong Back to Africa mental state and started naming your children culturally what they should be,
mm-hmm.
okay, names that had meaning to them, now you start to develop your African self getting back in touch. They see what's going on. They have to break that. Okay, that's why the image of Obama can't come across in a positive way. They have to keep doing something. Now, I really didn't expect this. This is left field when I see that they're going to say, well, mother, you can't even name your own child.
Oh, yeah.
Let's
back up for one moment because I'm sure there are some listeners who maybe have not heard of what we're talking about. So we're going to back up for a moment, okay? The article is entitled Black Women Losing Rights to Their Own Children's Name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was reported out of Detroit, as Brahma Robinson just indicated. And remember, again, also we're going to give you some more information about the principal in Michigan, the state, Detroit is in Michigan, so we're talking about the state of Michigan. There's a particular county in Michigan, which we'll give you later. Now, that place in Michigan, Brother Robinson, I didn't bring this to your attention, but I got to report today that a principal in another county in Michigan is proposing, and I mean has sent this to the governor, that his suggestion is that the schools, that some of the schools in Michigan be turned into prisons. Because so some of the portions of Michigan, the economy is so bad that the children are not being, this is what his letter states. I'm going to read the letter shortly. The economy is so bad, the children are not getting educated. Therefore, he suggests that some of the schools be turned into prison. So, just hold on that. We won't go there yet. Let's go back to this other one of what we're talking about for right now. I just want to read a little bit of the article so folks can get a better idea as to what we're talking about with black women in Detroit not being able to name our own children. Okay, here's part of the article. And a decision that's expected to send shockwaves through the African-American community and yet give much relief to teachers everywhere, a federal judge ruled today that black women no longer have independent naming rights for their children. Too many black children and many adults bear names that border on not even being words, he said. Well, one more sentence for y'all. I'm simply tired of these ridiculous names black women are giving their children, said U.S. federal judge Ryan Cabrera, before rendering his decision. Someone has to put a stop to it. And that's a quote unquote. Now, for those of you who didn't hear what we were talking about or didn't quite get what we were talking about when we first started the show about black women not having the ability to name our own children, well, I'm referring to an article that appeared in Detroit. I'll pull up the exact newspaper for you in a few moments. I'll give you the date so in case you want to go find it. You certainly can. But family, this is serious. This is very, very serious. So this is what Brother Robinson was just talking about. What I just read to you is real. It's factual. I will give you the site for you to go and look at it yourself. But the bottom line is, since Brother Robinson didn't want to say it because he wanted to stay in practice for his show, great. But what the hell? Brother Robinson?
I'm listening. I'm reading the thing with these people. I mean, this judge. I mean, this is a throwback worse than the crazy drunk crossdresser when he started the communist thing. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He lied about everything. He lied about his military career, all of this. He ruined so many people's lives.
Right.
It's saddened the state of the American government and what they allow in it. You get me?
Absolutely.
These people who are in these high offices rendering decisions, trashing people's lives, and with no remorse, no redemption. It's just when we were doing the stories on the political prisoners, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a man goes to jail for 45 years for a crime he did not commit.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets out under the conditions. You know what I'm saying? How can it even come up a condition? Now we have a federal judge in Detroit, a impoverished state, and he's rendering decisions talking about the black woman has no right to name her child. It's not even overwhelming. It's the system acting just as it should. We were talking about that today. How profound Malcolm's statement becomes, finding comfort in the belly of the beast. Now, when this letter came out, you should not have been able to have peace anywhere a black woman, a black man existed in America. It should have been, what the hell, what the do you mean, I can't name a child?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you continuing to cut me off from my culture? Why are you continuing to disallow me to know who I am? When everybody else knows who they are, you got no problem with the Japanese. Well, you did. World War II, when they put them all in concentration camps. Okay? Called them NIPs. Mm-hmm. But then you turned it all back around. Now, nobody knows the word NIP existed. It's Japanese. You know, you return them back to their status. But we, the African, since being taken from the throne, have never even come close to being. But we've only been gone a short period of time. So it's not that far a ride back. I was talking to Elder Smalls.
Mm-hmm.
And on the program.
Which Elder Smalls?
James Smalls.
Oh, okay. I'm glad. And the reason why I asked, because I'd been trying to call him, and then someone told me he was in the hospital.
Well, I'd have to check on the phone call on that. I was going over a program that I was doing, which was recent.
Okay.
Which
mm-hmm.
was recent. And he talked about the transatlantic slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you do not talk about the transatlantic slave trade without talking about the trans-Saharan slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are very connected. And he was talking about how it was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal. But we're talking about the period of time, how short it was in comparison to some other things that had people under, but how we were put so far under in that period of time and then to come out of it. The point of the conversation was how many revolts happened here in America that are not talked about, not taught, and we as a people don't know about them because we're always saying, well, what have we done? What have we done? We got to get our books out, meaning talking to our elders. I don't mean literal books. I mean, we have to start talking to our elders to get our story out because they are trying to bury it as deep as they can. And this story here just brings it more to light. Let this go 20 years. Let this go undone for 20 years and see what you come out with. Now, you got to go from there. I got to hold up.
It's just incredible. It's just absolutely incredible. But this is now what we are, this is what we're dealing with. And again, unless we begin to respond more responsibly, you can just see what it is that not only we're going to be faced with, but what the next generation is going to be faced with and the generations after that. Because this thing is only going to get worse. That is certain.
This is
unbelievable.
This is like I want to call it the straw that's going to break the camel's back, but we have been brutalized so much that it seems like it's only another step. Take it when welfare came in. That was to break the back of the African family, because what did they do? When welfare was introduced to the white community, the man did not have to leave the home. They kept the family intact. When they brought welfare to the African community, the man could not be inside the home. okay? And so tough decisions had to be made. But 20 years later, all you got is the story of a Roman man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And all these traps have been laid to where we fall into. What do? We send our children to their school. What in the world do we expect to come out? It's up for willing people to serve someone else. Now, Detroit didn't take it to the next level. They said, fuck the school. Let's go straight to jail.
That's right.
They're going to turn the schools into prisons. So, I mean, I don't know how much clear the picture can be painted.
Yep.
I don't know how much clear the picture can be painted. So.
Well, you know, we've known for quite a while that, you know, this was coming. We've been saying it. But I think, brother, now we've got to really begin to focus on what are we going to do about it. You know, that I think is really the question that has to be answered. What are we going to do? Well, of course, there's certainly many, many suggestions and ideas that have been placed before us. I think now, along with the questions, we have to now look and see how are we going to do some of this. You know, there's a what on the table and also now a how that's on the table. So we're going to open up the chat room, and hopefully you all will have some comments or something that you want to share. But we're here live. You can communicate with us. You can call us at area code 646-652-2232. Or as we just said, we're going to open up the chat room for you so that you all can communicate yourselves. And, whew, I mean, this is just very, very deep, to say the least. Very, very deep. And Brother Ramos says, while I'm in preparation of opening up the chat room, let's tell our folks a little bit about a couple of things that's coming up. One, of course, being Odunde here in Philadelphia. If you're in the Philadelphia area, we certainly invite you to participate, join us, or join the community here in Philadelphia for the, this is probably like the 30th year, something like that, of Odunde. If you're in the Philadelphia Tri-State area, come in on next Sunday, June the 13th, down around the South Street area, roughly from about 20th to maybe around 23rd. You will have an incredible time. It's not the same as it used to be, I've got to say, but nevertheless, when black folks come together, it's going to always be something grand. So come on down, join Odunde next Sunday, June the 13th. Now, on June the 26th, Brother Ramos? 25th.
Nah, June the 25th.
I got it right, 25th. Tell our family about what's coming up here in Philly for June the 25th.
Well, June 25th, only in America, a program that is structured so that you, the listening audience, can come out and talk about and deal with the solutions for race soldiering. We would call it police brutality, but they don't live up to the name of police. Police means to protect and serve the public. And they're not protecting and serving the public. They're pulling triggers. They're killing. They're beating. They're stomping. They're putting it in the ground. So what are we going to do? We have to come out of the anonymic state. We are not able to handle this alone, by ourselves. We need to take action. That means eyewitness account. When you see somebody pulled over, step back a few feet and eyewitness the account. Let these people know that they're being watched. But you have to come out to the program so you can learn.
That's right.
June 25th. From 12:30 to 9:30. And if you think it's too long, just come out to the portion of the program that you want to see. Don't make up a reason to go somewhere else. Understand? Anyway, we got to really talk about Only in America. I hope you can ask me some questions.
Oh, definitely. And also, I want to add, though, that I will be doing a special presentation at Owning America for those sisters who have gone through the prison system in any kind of way, be it you were incarcerated for one day, 1 hour, even if you were just questioned, anything that deals with any type of government, police or whatever you want to call them, or any type of thing that dealt with the judicial system. If you had some problems, be it your rights were violated, whether anybody said it or not, you knew it. Be it you were sent through some physical situation, because sometimes even if you are arrested, the searching procedure might not have been what it should have been. If you have any kind of situation that has occurred, be it during the process, be it while you were incarcerated, be it even afterwards, we want to hear your report. We want to hear your story. We want to document that. Because all over the country this is happening, it's got to start somewhere where we let our sisters know that we are going to start paying more attention to what's happening to our women and our girls in these places. And not just in those places, again, how the so-called officials, be it parole, be it the parole people, be it the people who are prosecuted, you name it, anything that has to do with the so-called penal system, prison system, justice system, whatever. We want to know what your reports are. So come to the Only in America program. We will take your information. We will document your information. Because who knows? If we get enough data, perhaps a class action suit can come about. We never know. So that the future, so that the present can be addressed and dealt with in a more effective manner. We have sisters that are in these prisons that have no voice at all. They may not have family members, and they certainly don't have right representation or ample representation from a legal standpoint. Who's going to stand up for them? Who's going to help them? And if you are a sister that hears this broadcast and you've been through that process, then you know what I'm talking about. You need to come to the session, share your experiences so that other sisters can be helped and other sisters will know not to get caught up in that system. So again, Only in America, June 25th, this new segment is specifically for our women, because where have you heard before for a session for women who have been incarcerated are asked to come out and share your story? Where have you heard that happen before? And I'm not saying that it hasn't, but more than likely, and I can tell you for certain, it sure ain't been happening in Philly. So the point is that we have to make certain that we cover all these angles and all these situations as best as we can all across the board. And I feel very blessed to have been invited to participate in this segment of Only in America and in previous segments, but now to be able to bring the women's voices, our sisters' voices, into this forum to make certain that we are amply represented. Now, with that, and then I'm going to go back to Brother Ramasuz, I want to remind you all, have you heard of Reverend Joy Powell? See, again, it took 16 years for people to hear about the Scott Sisters. And I feel very honored to know that this radio program helped that information to get circulated. Well, now, Sister Munira has helped us to know of another sister whose name is Sister Reverend Joy Powell, who, Brother Ramasuz, is known in the community in New York for being one who fought against police brutality. She's very outspoken and an activist in the community. Now she has been indicted for an alleged murder, and she's due to be sentenced in August. So we have to be very mindful and prepared to do what we can to try to help the sister, because it is very clear from the information that we're getting that she's been railroaded, that it was known, she's known in New York, and that she was set up, and so forth and so on. So we're going to give you more information about Reverend Joy Powell in the very near future as well. But I'll be talking about her at the Only in America program, so that you all will be able to get ongoing information, because we're in the process of connecting with her directly very shortly. And so, again, we'll give you more information about this. So, Brother Ronald, she's going back to Only in America. Now, I know, how many have you done so far?
Well, this makes the third one.
Okay.
They're being presented every quarter.
Okay.
And they're being presented every 3 months, because that gives you time to look for people to participate in the program. It gives you a chance to establish programs that can work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what has to happen is the people have to come out. They
right.
have to want the help that's being placed on the table. Okay? They have to want it. Now, when I do Only in America, I'm doing the program because the program is sorely needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I present the program as strongly if one person shows up or 100 people show up. So I hope the people who are talking against the program are listening tonight, because I'm certainly going to bring it on a little heavier Monday night at 8 o'clock. Because I'm going to put the call out to the people. I'm going to say, listen, we put this program on for 3 quarters, and you say you're suffering police brutality. But when we got the program going, I don't see your face. I wonder, are you really suffering? Or is this another picnic? Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. When William Singletary talked about how they beat Mumia, and it said it made the Rodney King beating look like a picnic. That floored me. And it says that we need help. But if the people don't come, what can we do? We can put every single program in place. But if we don't come to where it is, if we don't come together and start to do, then what can we do?
Well, I'm going to tell you, brother, and I hear you, but this is what I also know, unfortunately, because our people are right now in such a, I don't even know what to call it anymore, it just seem like they, too many have become like zombies.
They've been put to sleep. Look,
right, exactly. And so since we
know that. I made the error. Well, I don't know if it was an error or not, but I was on Legacy of a Nation, right? And I was talking to Elder Gossett. I said, "What are we like crabs? You turn them upside down and rub them on the underside, and they just go to sleep." You understand? I don't want to compare us to crabs, but damn, that's what it's like. They just rub your belly, you go to sleep. Because I'm at a loss for words.
Well,
that don't happen too often. I mean, how can you see somebody get shot and killed and not want to do anything about it? How can you see somebody get beat to the point of non-recognition and not want to do something about it? You know, where are you? Where do you think you are? What date and time do you think you're in that you sit back and continue to do nothing? And like I said, like we said in the beginning of the program, every 20 years they do something to make the change. So we're rolling right back into the name thing. Since you don't know what to call yourself, okay, we'll call you something.
Well, like we said, brother, it is for certain that the situation is going to get worse. And I don't know if you heard, but There was a recently, and I think it was this week, another killing of a brother, of a black man, by police. Okay, it was either this week or last week, I'm not sure. I just started getting some of the details on it today. So
yeah.
By your show on Monday, I should have some further information on you, because there was supposed to be a rally today, which, again, I didn't hear about the rally until, like, hours after it had already happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it shows that we've got a lot of work ahead of us, because even the communications is not, it's just not what it needs to be.
Yeah,
now, with that
down.
Said, just to kind of regress for a moment, I wanted to bring this to the attention of folks. We talk about Only in America, and, of course, that's referencing and is more related to police and governmental terrorism and things of that nature. But I just wanted to also convey to everyone that we're going to talk a little later on about the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. As it pertains to on a day-to-day level. We're going to talk about that a little more as we proceed in the show. And I wanted to also let folks know that, again, right here in Philly just this week, we've had several incidents that are just off the hook. One in particular where a young girl, Brother Ramasus, I don't know if I sent this one to you or you heard about it, a young girl was catching the grocery subway, I think going towards Alani, and 17 years old, standing there minding her own business. A guy that she didn't know her, he didn't know her, but he decides for whatever reason that he gonna kill her. So he attempted to push her on the tracks with the train coming. And somehow she was just swift enough to start fighting back. And as a result of her fighting back, she was able to get him off of her. But within a few seconds, the train was coming. This was this week. 17 years old. And when they got him, because, you know, finally people, I guess, did try to grab him or whatever, and when they arrested him or whatever, they found that, you know, he was a serial dude, meaning he had all kinds of arrests and stuff, you know, on him. Okay? But just out the clear blue sky, he just decided, you know, he was going to do that. And this is the kind of mindset that I'm talking about. So I'm saying it to you, brother, because I already know we are the ones that are going to have to figure out how are we going to get our people to the places that they need to be. Because the mindset is so severe right now that we've got to figure out how we're going to break through the hypnotic, whatever it is that's going on. So I'm saying that to say that, again, going back to Odunde, now, if you're in the Philly area, please come to our kind of briefing on Saturday, June the 12th. We'll be at the Dindy Recreation Center at, I believe we're going to be there at 2:30. And it's a briefing, meaning we want some volunteers to come out to Odunde with us, because we're going to give out leaflets, flyers, brochures about violence and abuse, meaning we'll be in the streets, because there's thousands of people that come to Odunde. So we're going to be literally in the community, on the street, giving out information that has tips on what women need to know and do, you know, in this situation, that situation, or whatever, suggestions, you know, how to, you know, even if you're walking down the street, you know, things that help people, us just to be more aware, pay closer attention to different things. We'll be in the street, brother, handing that information out. You see, because I already know they're not going to come to us. We got to go to them, and that's what we're going to do. You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying again, family, if you're in Philly, please come out to the Dindy Recreation Center on Saturday, June the 12th. We will be there only for about an hour, just to get your information, your briefing, some flyers, so that when you come out to Odunde on Sunday, you'll be able to help get this information and message out that we've got to begin to more realistically defend, protect, and service our sisters. And so we're just going to be more proactive. So we're calling them our Sister Soldier Street Patrol. Sister Soldiers Street Patrol. And what we're going to do now, as often as we can, different parts of the city, we'll be going to 52nd Street, I think, next week. We'll be at 52nd and Market, handing out flyers and brochures that talk about how to protect yourself better, how to be more aware, and so forth. So, again, I'm putting it out there, brother, because that's what you have to really begin to think about. We can no longer think, with the condition that our people are in, we can't think that they're going to keep just, you know, they're just going to come. It's just not happening like that. We got to get out in these streets.
That's absolutely right. And so down in the trenches we go. Okay.
That's right.
Got to do it. Got to do it. And we have to be able to feed ourselves. So let me throw a plug in there for the Black Farmers Food Distribution Group. That's bffdgroup@yahoo.com. The emails have went out, but you need to respond here at 1609 Cecil B. Moore with your pre-order purchase so that we can get the Black Seed, Black Diamond watermelon here to Philadelphia. Now, people talked about how sweet they were last year, so the rains have been good to us, and so the crops will be nice. So it's a good thing. And this is the closest you're going to get to a wholesome and natural fruit. I don't use the word organic because that's the word that the government uses to keep our farmers out of business. Okay?
All right.
So they have little to no pesticides on them, and they are wholesome and natural. No GMOs. All right?
All right.
So
all
keep
right.
pumping that out there. Now.
All right.
What other topics are we going to handle tonight?
Well, before we go on to the Only in America, shall we say, I want to remind everyone that, again, on the issue of violence and abuse, we do now have the STAR media presentation is available. Please go and download it. It's about 40 minutes, the presentation, and Brother Mike who we also known as Brother Kofi, has done a superb job in putting together a video, or shall we say, media presentation for anyone. You don't have to have any experience, previous experience. You don't have to be, you know, already, you know, in a whole lot of physical fitness or whatever. There's some fundamental things that this information, that this presentation will help you to know in terms of how to best or better protect yourself. So please go to www.ashaeproductions, and that's ashaeproductions.com. Please download the video. It's also known as a media presentation. It's approximately 40 minutes in length, and it will definitely help you to be more prepared and more aware. And you can also pass it on. And remember, part of the proceeds is being donated back to the Black Women's Defense League, which, of course, is one of the official components of the Million Woman Movement. And, again, this is wonderful information to show you how you can utilize the parts of your own body to help, shall we say, just deter, or to help, you know, someone to kind of get off their square. Or, no, they ain't on no square, really, if they're trying to do something like that to hurt you. But to help to, you know, just unbalance them. How you can even use a car as a way to kind of use it as an object to be able to keep them from getting to you. You know, it shows you how to do that. That'll allow you to stall for time, and you can yell, you can get someone else's attention, and so forth and so on. So a lot of stuff is basic, fundamental things, but once you have it in your brain, you will be able to draw from it. And then, of course, we're going to be bringing Brother Kofi to Philadelphia and to the tri-state area so that we can do one-on-one training for those sisters and brothers who want to train or want to be able to provide classes, ongoing sessions, to make certain that our community is safer for our women and girls. We are going to train our own folks so that we will be able to do ongoing one-on-one. So, again, you're going to get this two ways. One, you can download it onto your computer, your iPhone, your iPad, and that way you can review it as often as you'd like, as often as you need to see it. But you can also begin to prepare to have classes in your community. And those classes are going to also entail some other things, including better health, you know, information about better health, better eating, and like Brother Rollins was talking about, to begin to really have not just a better appreciation for good fresh fruits and vegetables, but also we're going to show you to some degree how to even prepare some of that. So we got a lot of things that's getting ready to come your way to help make our communities stronger, safer, and certainly more self-determined. So if you want more information about anything that we've talked about for the Million Women Movement, please feel free to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com or officialmwm@yahoo.com. And you can also call us at area code 267-636-3802. Okay, so let's go back to Only in America. Now, we were someplace, and a brother asked me, is that where Ramesses got that phrase from, Only in America? And I told him, no, not at all. That phrase came from, of course, the infamous Don King.
That's right. He said, criminal behavior can be rewarded. And only in America do they prove that every day. Justice for them and not for us.
But Brother Ramesses, you know, you said something a little while ago, and I oftentimes have to go back to this one point, and that is you have to know that, as far as I'm concerned, these people, meaning the so-called powers that be, are going to continue to do what they do until we really stand up. I think when the bomb was dropped here, and this goes back to a question that you asked, you know, how long will we sit back? You know, we see them do things, and then, you know, we don't respond, or when are we going to start responding? I think in 1985, when they dropped the bomb here in Philadelphia and an entire block went up in flames and 11 people were killed, and the main thing that happened in terms of from the community that happened were some hearings, I think from a systematic standpoint, these people realize that they can do pretty much what they want to and get away with it. Because no one was prosecuted for that. Let me back up for a moment. Ramona was prosecuted, okay. But, you know, from the enemy standpoint, from them, none of them were prosecuted. Even though it was a known fact that Wilson Good said, let the bunker, oh, no, not Wilson Good, Sanborn, the police commissioner, let the bunker burn. Even though he said this and they heard it on the radio or on the, you know, the communications people, he said it. And he ended up saying it. So he admitted he was complicit if nothing else in murder. But yet none of those people were indicted for anything. And so I'm saying again that they've already kind of proven or it has been shown that they can do things, and for the most part, we let them get away with it.
Well, you said it correctly the first time when you said no one was prosecuted. And we're talking about the forces to be. None of them were prosecuted. And the industry continues to back them up. Now, you recall on the first Only in America, when we talked about how many times has a black officer or any officer shot a white man by mistake and said, oops, I thought he had a weapon. You can look up the facts for yourself. The record speaks for itself. It hasn't happened. But when you look it up on a white officer shooting a black man, you find it countless numbers of times, and always it's stated justified homicide. Psychologically, the man thought, you know, they have gone through this piece time and time again. And they're going to continue to do it. As you stated, they bombed an entire area where you live. The whole country should have been up in arms at that. But at least the whole state of Pennsylvania, or at least the whole city of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But from all I can see, I wasn't here, but from all I can study, it was situation status quo.
Mm-hmm.
All quiet on the front. Oh, we must have done something to deserve it. Come on, people. Man. Somebody got to tell me.
Well, you know, it's the one thing that I can say is that, you know, those of us who have been able to evaluate that situation, and I mean really, you know, take it to heart, it has enabled us to be strengthened to the point where, you know, we will not allow it to be forgotten. We will not allow for it to be just pushed underneath the rug and so forth. And so, you know, we're totally committed to making certain that, you know, we serve as the griots, you know, when it comes to certain situations in our community. We're not expecting the newspaper or the radio, the mainstream radio, or the Negroes, or anybody to continue to uphold the things that need to be told, the stories that need to be told, the information that needs to be put out there. So we are now drafted as the voices that have to make certain that this information and that these facts and that these situations are still constantly put out there, because a lot of these people have gotten shut-up money. They've gotten shut-up money by becoming politicians or by, you know, grabbing onto their little 501s.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you know, that has quieted them up. You know, they don't know how to get the money and keep rolling. And so, they, you know, to me, that's shut-up money. That's what it has come to. So we have those of us who have some integrity, have some, you know, gumption, some spirit, some whatever you want to call it, we are the ones, as the saying go, that we've been waiting for.
That is for sure. That is for sure. So
right.
As the clock ticks, you know, we, like I said, we'll see what happens. You know, I put out the same call list to the guests that we have listed on the previous flyer. And you know, I expect, the answers will be slow. They'll be slow. But Monday night is when I'm gonna start calling them out. I'm gonna call you by name. I'm gonna say, look, what you gonna do? How you gonna do it? When you gonna do it? And where are you going to do it? So,
well,
prepared.
I think let's talk a little bit about, okay, some of the people who have participated thus far. For those who might not, you know, have been in tune previously, or, you know, who have heard some of our discussions or whatever, who are some of the people that have participated at some of the other forums?
Well, we had Sam Clark from Delaware. You had William Singletary from wherever, USA, and let's keep it like that. Because he is the, as stated, he is the only living eyewitness at this point in time. Is that most correct?
Pretty much, yes, that we know of, listed that way.
Right. And so we had, Lynn Washington, who participated. He did the ballistics test that the city of Philadelphia didn't do. The state of Pennsylvania didn't do.
And you need to say, now, who are these people? I mean, who is Lynn Washington?
Well, Lynn Washington is one of the attorneys, but he's also a professor over at Temple University.
Mm-hmm.
And he also made statement to reading the entire transcript of the Mumia Abu-Jamal case.
Mm-hmm.
So you could consider him an expert on the case. Now, he might not say that himself because he seems to be an extremely humble man. You know? But he certainly, I can't call this man name out now, but the guy who is holding the office now, who says he wants to be the one to pull the switch, can you call his name?
Are you talking about the new DA?
Yeah.
Steph Williams?
Thank you, because whose
campaign?
I can't let that name roll across my lips. You know
what
I'm saying?
Well, we better start talking about
somebody.
I have no problem with it. Yeah.
Somebody needs to really call him. Now, he made a bold statement, okay? He said if you asked him out publicly, he would come. Well, I've been asking for him on the radio program. I ain't heard from him yet. So if anybody out there in the listening audience has a contact for him, please send it to me. Ramesses.
Well, see, I mean, the reality is we know where he is because he's DA. I mean, his office, we know where his office is.
But he don't. He won't come out. You know what I'm saying? You
know.
Well,
but the reality is, my brother, if we really want to invite him, it doesn't. I mean, I think that's the point, to invite him, and so. Since he has an office, then the thing is, two things can happen, or at least two things. I mean, there's several things, but certainly one, to hand deliver him an invitation, two, to send it certified mail, three, to fax it. I mean, there are numerous ways to send him an invitation that can be documented, that it was sent.
Yeah, it's absolutely. He was sent a documented letter. And he did not respond to it. So his statement was he would show up if invited, but he has not lived up to that. So we continue to move on. Now, there are other people who are in the making, but they say they want to stay out of the media, so I have to honor that. And they will show up to Only in America. So we have to keep that quiet until that day, and then we'll see if they show up. I have been talking to this lady. Her last name is Bilal, but she's at the Guardian Civic League up there on Girard Avenue.
Rochelle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you know, I've put the invitation out to a number of people, so we just have to wait until they respond. Philadelphia is not the fastest response to invitations, I've noticed.
Right, but see, okay, let me just ask this question, and I'm going to leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
What proof is given to say that they actually received it? And what I mean by that is, see, I've learned from previous experiences that, you know, you have to deal with these people in the way that you have to deal with them. And what I mean by that is you have to be able to document whatever it is you do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that to say, do we have actual proof that somebody in those offices received that information?
Well, yeah, I actually talked to her on the phone.
No, I got you.
So we'll work on that. We will work.
Yeah, because see, other than that, that's, you know, that's like, that's hearsay. When you send something in writing and you got somebody's signature on it, it becomes a different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, somebody somewhere is accountable. So if the person themselves that is sent to, they can always say, well, I never got it. Well, okay, that's cool. But you know what? Your secretary signed for this. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's not to say that it changes anything. I'm just saying, in the other realm of things, I will bear witness to the fact that from an ancestral standpoint,
mm-hmm.
when I do certain things that I know I'm supposed to do, and I do it to the best of my ability, I bear witness to the fact that at some point in time, some other things happen. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we definitely gonna be keeping working on these situations, and you know, keep posted on the updates as they come about. So you know, we're really gonna push hard at it. Really gonna push hard at it, especially to make this a success. And then there'll be one more program this year, and we'll release that date when we do Only in America Part 3, June
25th. Great. Okay, so brother, now just so I know, or not me, so our listeners know, is there going to be any vending? Is there a fee? Is there any way that people may be able to support? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, to support it, any vendors who want to come definitely mm-hmm. can do so. You know, give me a call because the vending fee will be very reasonable. We're not asking the people to pay directly, but to make a donation when they come to.
Okay.
At least help support the building, help support the vendors who do come. And we will provide a wholesome and natural diet for you, so therefore you will have some nutrition when you get there.
All right. Great,
so
great.
That's what's going on. And I hope you'll be able to join me Monday night at 8 o'clock.
Okay. So now tell them more about that. 8 o'clock, what time? Where do they go to listen in?
Okay, well, a few ways you can get the program. For those who are outside of the Philadelphia area, you can listen by tuning in to www.900amwrd.com. Then click on live stream. At 8 o'clock, and the program Legacy of a Nation will be there. Now, if you're in the Philadelphia area, you can tune in on 900 AM WURD. And the call-in number, if you want to hear or listen on the phone, call in, make a comment, 215-634-8065. And if you have any questions,
mm-hmm.
you can write to me at legacyofanation@yahoo.com.
Okay, great. Brother Robinson, do you have anyone in particular coming on this week? because I know lately from what I've been hearing, you've been having some pretty powerful folks been coming on lately.
Yeah, I'm looking at putting the whole forum together with those particular guests, but that's mm-hmm. something that we're looking at sometime in the future. Well, all I can say is I have a call out for Sam Clark, Lynn Washington, Robert Dickerson of the UCC-UPK, because he deals with self-defense and violence, you know, amongst the African people.
That's one of our brothers, you know. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm putting a call out to you, Sister Empress Filet.
Mm-hmm.
Hate to do it on air, but.
Oh, no, no.
Look, time.
Not a problem. Not
running
a problem.
Out of time. And, you know, we just have to see how it goes. I have some young people who are going to come in just in case some of the guests don't return the phone calls. I don't want the show to absolutely flatline, but like I say, if the people that I've invited to speak are unable to come for whatever reason,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
we're going to continue to broadcast. Putting out for only in America, and we're going to be asking people to call in with why they scared to call in.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? Let me see, tell you what. I think that did you want Chairman Fred to call in again? Because and I don't believe we mentioned Chairman Fred earlier as being one of the people who have called in to participate previously.
Right. I had asked you because I want to schedule him for next week, which is the second
okay.
Monday, because when he goes into his dialogue, because I'm only going to do like an hour each program,
okay.
unless I can get some funding, and then I'll stretch the program out to 2 hours.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. Speaking of that, I'm looking forward to talking to Chairman Fred as well, because I did get the opportunity to meet Malcolm Chavez last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that at some point Chairman Fred and Malcolm were planning to do a legacy tour together. And I think that kind of got disrupted. I think Brother Malcolm ended up going to take his Hajj. But anyway, I did get a chance to meet him while he was here in Philly. One of the things that kind of disturbed us, well, first of all, you know, there's this whole thing going on with the book that Manny Marble wrote. And, oh, on that same note, there's now I believe it's $10 million.
No, 50.
It's a suit.
50.
Oh, sorry, 50. Okay, $50 million suit. That's now being placed against Mary Marvel's estate, as well as the publishers, which, of course, are some white people. So that's going to be real interesting.
Yeah.
You know, keep our eyes open on that, because that's real interesting. But it's kind of funny because the person that's bringing the suit, and I don't want to say too much more about this until I check some of my sources a little better, but the person that's bringing the suit is a little questionable from what I'm hearing. I'll reserve my comments on that until maybe next week. But the point being, we are glad, of course, to see that somebody is kind of doing something about that situation. Of course, when Brother Malcolm was here in Philly and on his tour, he, of course, been just putting it out there, you know, and really, you know, just saying how it is just incredible that this thing has happened, and of course has happened after Manny Marvel's dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can't even say, you know, what he wrote, when he wrote, you know, he can't respond to none of it. So it's one of them things again that make you want to go But again, what Malcolm Chavez indicated in his presentation was that, you know, the whole thing is just so bogus. It's just so insane. But now, the thing that he also brought to our attention, and we'll be reporting on this also next week, is that his aunt is still incarcerated.
Mm.
For those who had not heard the story maybe a couple of months ago, one of Elhaj Malik's daughters and Betty Shabazz's daughter, I think it's Malika, was arrested for allegedly something that had to do with checks or some other, you know, what was it? What do they call it? Identity theft, some stuff.
Yeah, they accused her of identity theft.
Right, right. And it has something to do with some checks, too, from what
mm-hmm,
I was told.
Mm-hmm,
but anyway,
mm-hmm.
The bottom line is she's still incarcerated. And what I mean by still incarcerated, I mean this. There was a bail, and nobody paid it. And I'm not talking about something outrageous. I'm talking about $10,000. Did I miss something? I'm just not getting that.
They leave me at a loss for words, I'm telling you. Only in America. Only in America.
So, again, we will hopefully have more information next week, you know, because that's what we're working on this week, is to try to find out what the heck is going on, because we were all shocked. I mean, I'm still going like, huh? And I'm saying that also because, and again, I can't verify this, but from what it was alluded to, is that the sister's daughter, who is like 14 years old,
mm-hmm.
has been placed in some kind of facility while her mother is incarcerated. Family, do y'all hear what I'm saying? That the granddaughter of Elhaj Malik El Shabazz and Betty Shabazz, the granddaughter has been placed in some kind of like foster care.
They know how to tie it up.
Wow.
And they know exactly what to do. We really got to wake up.
Yeah, wake up. I mean, you know, now, and I'm pointing the finger at us, really, because how can conscious folk, how can we, like, let this happen? Wasn't it bad enough when he was killed and the family, you know, had to go through all that the family went through? And now here we are today, and we can't do no better than this? Oh man, this, you know. Wow. So, again, you know, I just found out about this last week. So I will be looking into it further later on this week, and we'll have an update for our program next week. But I'm just saying, you know, this is just ridiculous. Before we close out, I want to remind everyone that the 14-year anniversary of the Million Women March will happen here in Philly from October the 18th through the 26th. There will be a very, very important event coming up for many reasons. One, to, of course, bring our sisters together again to allow us to reconnect, recommit, etc. But this year for October will be the first national planning session to help prepare us to go to Africa for next year. So for those who are interested in becoming involved in our Million Women March going to Africa starting in 2012, and notice it's starting in 2012, there's more to this plan. We've been working on this for quite a while. I can tell you right now, and I'm not going to go in list, but Brother Ramaswamy received word today that the new Prime Minister of Trinidad, I'll just say, there's a big event coming here in Philly for women and girls of African descent. The Million Women Movement will be launched officially, and we invite anyone that's interested to come. None of the backstabbers, please, not this time. please, not the sons. We've had enough of that. Only those sisters who really are about doing the right things, wanting to see us come forward as women, as sisters, as a people. We definitely invite you October 18th through the 26th. Oh, Brother Ramasuz, got to tell you, the special session for brothers is coming together. I'll give you more information about that tomorrow. But there's a special session for brothers that's going to take place the week prior. And we'll be able to give you all more information about that very soon. And Brother Ramasuz, guess who said they would come?
Who's coming?
You had him on your show recently. Brother Kamau. He's coming. He's coming to Philly in October. Because we want to pay tribute. See, I didn't finish paying tribute to the brothers last year. We're going to kind of revisit that this year. But along with the brothers from Philly, we're going to pay tribute to Brother Kamau Kabon. And for those who don't know of him, you will. We're going to also pay tribute to Brother Alton Maddox.
Oh, that's great.
All right.
I reached out to him. His office is kind of hard, too. But you got him, we're going to talk to him. Okay?
Yep. That's right.
So we're going to talk to them. So we're going to dedicate some program time to these efforts because, it's a sorely needed thing. It's much, much needed. But I moved to the concept that we can only place things on the table and it's up to the people to pick them up.
Well, that is
true.
But my position on that, brother, is that unfortunately it's a little deeper than that.
And
if we expect them to pick it up, just based like that, we're in a different age, a different time. I don't know why. I don't understand it all, but I do know there's some stuff going on, and those of us who have the ability, we are the ones that must create the synergy to make things happen. And we can.
That's right.
We can.
Well,
so with that said,
right.
Family, yep, we're down to our last couple of minutes. I want to thank Brother Ramasuz Brother Ramasuz, you know that you like kind of co-host with me tonight.
Well, listen, just a return favor, just to let you know. So, you're going to see more of this interaction as we come closer to the events that we are going to be putting on together. You're going to see the connections that have to be made. The unification has to be made. The black man, I did the program, the black man, the black woman, the black woman, the black man, because it all relates to the black family. Okay? We have to get that unification going. We have to get that unification going. All right. So listen, take us on out.
All right, my brother. Well, again, family, I think all of you for tuning in. I thank Brother Ramasuz again for sharing the mic with me tonight. We'll be back next Saturday, same time, same location. Remember, Legacy of the Nation, 8 o'clock. You can hear it online. Just look for Word, WRD 99. Oh, no, 90. And it's there.
900.
All right. All right, family. Again, my name is Shepherd Chi. I thank all of you for tuning in. Remember, we will be in Philly October for the official commemoration of the Million Woman March. Until next week, we bid you all power, prosperity, and peace, and we leave you with the spirit of Ma'at. Until next week, promote you to the Shende. Together, we shall win. Peace out.